If you take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, we'll continue our excursion through Matthew's Gospel. And as you're going there, let me briefly recap what we've been going through. Opening up the book of Matthew, we found some wonderful truths concerning our Lord God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And at first, we found that the announcements of His birth brought peace to so many people. That the King was coming, the baby King, really, and that the wise men came and worshipped Him. And as we continued through our study, we saw that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit came upon Him, empowering Him to walk the life that He has set before us as an example. And so the Lord, in all of His splendor and glory after His baptism, goes forth, not into some ivory palace, but into the wilderness to be tempted some 40 days and 40 nights by none other than Satan himself. And we remember that study that it brought us great peace to know that God come in the flesh, Jesus, fought against Satan with the Bible. In every case, He quoted Deuteronomy, which seems to be Jesus' favorite book. He quotes from that book more than any other. But Jesus uses the Word of God to ward off Satan and his temptations. And we do well to do likewise. And then we saw that Jesus, after the great temptation, He went forth preaching repentance, for the kingdom of God was at hand. And it's interesting, and we made note of it back then, that Jesus' first words were the first words of John the Baptist, the first words of Paul and Peter, and all of the disciples, and it's truly, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, we don't like to hear that word. It's an old-sounding word, but it's absolutely a necessity to get into the kingdom of God. It means to change your mind. To look at God now as one that loves you and one that demands your worship and your presence. Jesus says, repent from your thinking. Accept Him. The kingdom of God is here. And so, the Lord went on to deliver the greatest treaty ever delivered to the ears of man, and that is the Sermon on the Mount, which we just came through in Matthew 5 through 7. The great Sermon on the Mount, and I don't know about you, but we've come through that study, and at the end we kind of said, God, help me. Because if the law was incredibly demanding, the Sermon on the Mount, more so. Because Jesus delivered to us the truth, the spirit behind the giving of the law of the Old Testament, and that is, all of these things must be the desire of your heart. And we stand with our hands up and we say, God, we give up. We're not all humble. We are not all meek. We're not all peacemakers. And Jesus says, great, come unto me. I'll save you. Trust in me. And so you don't have to be a good boy or a good girl to get to heaven today if that's your plan. In fact, that's one of the lies of Satan, is that he'll tell you, clean up your act and come to God. He will express those thoughts of his very boldly to your heart. Clean up your act and come to God for salvation. Because Satan knows right well that you can never clean your act up to your approval to get to God. Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And it's a wonderful thought that we don't have to be good to get to heaven. We have to trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And Jesus stated in that, if we truly trust Him, He will be the Lord of our lives. Because remember in Matthew 7, He said, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, in the day of judgment. Haven't we done great miracles and wonders? Haven't we even cast out demons in your name? And Jesus responds and says, I never knew you. I mean, I don't even know who you are. Because the Lordship of Jesus Christ is absolutely essential. If you're going to name the name of Christ, He must be truly your Lord. And we've been coming through hard sayings. In ending, Jesus said, with great power, speaking the demands of the kingdom. And if you remember, at His completion of the sermon, so many people said, who is this guy? He speaks with such authority. And He doesn't speak like the priest and the other guys, but He's one that speaks with power. And it's so excellent, because Jesus spoke right from His heart the very truth that dwelt within Him from all eternity. And He laid it out there, and He laid it out before the people, and people were shocked. The Scripture says that they were literally, in the Greek, hit upside the head in the way of their senses. And Jesus continues to do that today, and I say all of that to bring you to this place this morning. We've come through a time of beautiful healings and wonderful power in Jesus Christ in our study of Matthew chapter 8. We come to a part this morning that's really heavy. And to be honest with you guys, I have been balking at bringing this message to you because it is so demanding. And the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, hey, all those who will come to me will come. My Father knows those that are His and He will draw them to me. Jesus would not do well in seminary today. He might get kicked out of seminary colleges and universities across America. Because instead of preaching some new kind of thing and you're wonderful and isn't the world wonderful and boy, you've got everything within you just to make it all happen for yourself, you know? You don't need God, you're great. So much is being taught of that in seminaries and in schools that hold the Bible up. And here Jesus comes on the scene and He says, man, listen. And He delivers a message and it grabs our attention because all of a sudden, I don't know, maybe in my mind, I've got this brainwashed idea that Jesus is this wonderful little flowery guy running around through the daisies and He's, you know, not a callus on His finger. He's a carpenter's son. He's the man of men. He's the son of man. He's a strong man. Jesus didn't falter between two opinions. He laid the cards on the table. Now, I want you to listen to this before we get into the message. Why was He so stern and so clear and so cut? Because Jesus Christ knows what's at stake, and you and I do not know clearly what's at stake. Jesus knows that there's a devil ripping you off and wanting to take you away, and that devil is absolutely committed. He doesn't sleep day or night to get you sidetracked. Jesus comes on the scene, and Jesus talks about hell more than any other person in the Bible. Jesus. Our wonderful Jesus, our precious Lord. Why? Because He wants to scare us? No, because the things that He's saying are a reality. And you may differ with what I'm saying right now. I encourage you to read your Bible and just realize that nobody else meets the qualifications of Jesus. When He rose from the dead, He qualified everything that He had said prior to that time at the cross. He's qualified. Are you qualified to question God this morning? Am I qualified to question Him? Jesus has demands because there is much more at stake than you think. Please open your hearts and your eyes to that this morning. Last week, we saw Peter's mother-in-law healed by the touch of Jesus Christ. The fever left her, and she immediately got up and served Him and served those that trafficked with Him. And it was a wonderful thing because as she was touched, her motive in her heart was, I'm going to bless Him back. And she gets up and ministers. And I say that in the way of recap because our motives need to be true as we serve the Lord Jesus. It, we saw last week that Jesus cast out demons by speaking a word. The power of God. Speaking a word and out go the demons. It was at night that they brought all the sick people and all the demonically possessed people. And Jesus simply spoke a word. And so in our text this morning, Jesus lays some radical things out. And why don't we read it together? I'll read it to you. Starting in Matthew chapter 8, verse 18, the text goes, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to Him, teacher, I will follow You wherever You go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Then another disciple said to Him, Lord, let me first go bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow Me, and let the dead bury the dead. Strong words of our Savior. Very strong. What's Jesus saying here? In verse 18, it says, now when Jesus saw the great multitudes about Him, He gave command to depart to the other side. That is so unlike us because, you see, we want people to come. We want people. We want to have a stadium full of people. Jesus sees the crowds coming. He's amassing to Himself now great multitudes of people, literally thousands of people. And Jesus says, you guys, let's get in the boat. Fire up that thing. Let's get across. And when people heard that, questions arose. This one man said, teacher, I'll follow You wherever You go. You going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee doesn't bother me. I'll follow You anywhere. And we have no doubt concerning this man's sincerity. He says, I'll follow You. Nothing is spoken about him not meaning it or him being a fair-weather follower of Jesus. He simply states, I'll follow You I mean, I went for it at the concert, and I raised my hand, and I'm standing there, and I'll follow you wherever you go. Now look, if we were Jesus, we would say right now, well, great, just sign up. Here's this program, and it's going to be great. Jesus says, hey, it's not an easy walk. It's not an easy life. The context of our scripture this morning, Jesus is literally calling out to you this morning and saying through his word, are you a disciple? That word disciple is mathetes in the Greek. It simply means to be a learner or a follower, a pupil of Jesus. If I were to ask you right now, are you a disciple of Jesus? 99% of you would raise your hand. And it breaks my heart to say that for many, many years, I would raise my hand too when that question was asked. And the truth of the matter was, I was not a disciple at all because I was following Christ for what I could get out of him. Jesus, what can you do for me? And the fact of the matter is, it's Jesus, I'm a disciple, what can I do for you? And the very truth of all the things that Jesus is saying is, do you truly want to be a disciple? This man says, teacher, I'll follow you everywhere. And Jesus responds to him in a way that shocks us. Jesus says to him, foxes have holes. Foxes have condos and houses. Foxes have little places where they can go and live every night. When it rains, they have a place to go. The birds of the air, they have nests. They have security. They have a safe place high above the ground. Jesus doesn't say, come on, it's great, it's cool. We're going to go on a boat ride. Want to go on a boat ride? It's fun. The ministry's great, guy. Come on, join the club, and it's going to be great. And we're going to have, you know, this thing happen, and we're going to have a little retreat over here, and it's going to be great. And the guy goes, man, and then you got 50,000 people signing up. Let's do it. Jesus is so smart. He says, pal, you've made a statement here. You want to follow me? Foxes have houses to live in. Birds have a place to live. You know, when it's night, they have a place to lodge. And he says, the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. And that convicts my heart because you know what? I want comfort. I want peace in my life. I want it easy. And nothing will shake up that mentality. And believe me, I'm going through it right now. Nothing will shake that and challenge that more than getting committed to Jesus Christ. Do you see what Jesus is saying? He's saying, count the cost. Jesus is literally doing something that you will see him do throughout all of Scripture. Now listen. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Jesus literally tries to talk people out of making a commitment to him. He'll say to them, it's going to be tough. You won't even have a place to live if you're going to follow me. I'm a man on the go. I'm a man moving. You see, I don't have much time. The ministry is demanding. The ministry will cost. It's very costly. And a lot of people heard that and they went, and they stepped back. And for those people, I think Jesus rejoiced. He saw them and he goes, all right, I know where they stand. And this man says, teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go. I want to be your child. I want to be your follower. But Jesus is saying it's going to get tough. And you know what happens? We'll study this very soon, next week. They're going to get in that boat. After Jesus says, it's not going to be easy. This man says, I'll follow you anywhere. They get in this boat and they start heading across and all hell breaks loose on water. And I'm glad that my Jesus speaks to me that way. The Lord says, you want to start a home fellowship? It's not going to be easy. And I go, I'll follow you anywhere. I'll do it. I'll do it. And then storms come. The Lord told me, storms will come. Storms will be in your life. And I'm so grateful that Jesus has laid the cards out and he says, it's going to be hard. It's going to be demanding. It's going to draw from you every bit of strength you have to bring you to the point that you have to trust me totally. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, it says that Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power in Jesus. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations of the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to obey all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. When you people stand up after saying, I'll be a disciple of Jesus Christ, the trip will be bumpy. It will be rough. The storms will get intense. But Jesus says, hey, lo, man, I'm with you always. Listen, hey, it's not yo, man. It could be yo, man, I guess. Behold, listen up, he says, I'm with you always. And the paradox of the Christian, the true believer in Jesus Christ, is he's a disciple. He's a follower of Jesus Christ. And when you get stretched beyond measure and you are so pulled from every direction, Jesus says, I'm with you always, remember? And if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ this morning, you have that promise. If you are not a disciple of Jesus Christ, he's not with you always. That's a hard saying. Jesus said in Paul spoke in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. He says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. That is a disciple. Can you confess Jesus Christ in your workplace, to your neighbors? It's a radical thought. Jesus is demanding. The things he's saying to us this morning are demanding. And I run the risk. I see some new faces here today. I run the risk of saying things and you'll go, man, I'm not going back there again. I'm going to go where it's easy. I'm not coming back to this place. That guy's a knucklehead. Jesus is demanding. Jesus is calling out to you and he's saying, you're in the world that has been shipwrecked. There's a war. Make a commitment to me. Now, this one man says, teacher, I'll follow you anywhere. He immediately offers up his commitment. He casts his vote. I'll go with you. He's very quick. He's very quick to respond. We're going to see soon that there's mixed multitude in that crowd, because just the last few verses, 21 and 22, there's a guy who's too slow. And I believe the Holy Spirit's put that in the Bible for us, because you may be too quick to say yes. I'll do it. Has the Lord told you to do that? I'll accept Jesus Christ. Have you counted the cost? And then there are those who said, I don't know about this. I'm going to give this more thought. And I'm going to go bury my father first. Now that sounds kind of cold, doesn't it? Look what the man says. I'm kind of jumping ahead, but I stuck my foot in it, so we'll do it. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go bury my father. His father's not dead yet. The man's not dead. That is an Oriental statement, a custom of that portion of the world, that part of the world that's in effect even to this day. When somebody summons someone else to a commitment, the response is, let me first bury my father and my mother. Do you know what that means? It means they're elderly. I'm going to take care of them until the day they die, and then I'll come and follow you. And Jesus says, I'll have no excuses. And you may ask, how loving is the Lord in this portion of Scripture? He's very loving. He says to this man, there can be no excuses. There's got to be a wholehearted commitment to me. And if you truly want to bury your father, really, then God must be first in your life. I must be first. Jesus says, listen to me. If you want to minister to your father the way you're supposed to, be committed to me first. If you truly love your family, you'll follow Jesus first instead of your wife. You'll follow Jesus first instead of your husband. Are you hearing me? There are people that come and they'll say, I really enjoyed the word. The Lord spoke to my heart, but we don't know if we'll be back. My wife doesn't want to come back. She feels uncomfortable. Or my husband feels uncomfortable here. There's a time to make a clean-cut decision. Jesus Christ says that you must love him more than anything else. He lays hard sayings out, strong sayings. And so what Jesus is asking us to do is really make a full-hearted commitment to him. In verse 20, again, we'll go recap. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have a nest, to rest in, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. It's awesome to me that Jesus Christ, the eternal God, come in the flesh. Remember when tax time came in the Bible? Jesus reaches in his robe. He doesn't have anything. Can't even pay taxes, and he tells Peter to go fishing. And Peter goes, yeah, I can get into that. I'm a fisherman. And he goes, well, go down there, and there's going to be a fish there, and that fish is going to spit a coin into your hand and go pay taxes. God, he didn't even have a MasterCard. No American Express. Nothing. Jesus says, pal, you need to count the cost. And I don't know about you, and maybe I'm reading too much into this here, but Jesus says to this guy, I think in this tone of voice, pal, buddy, the birds, the foxes, they have places to live. I don't. I want you to think about that before you get in the boat with us and go across. People, listen to this. Where we are at in our companies and our businesses where we work, or where you're at in school, isn't the world telling you, man, you got to pour everything you got into this? Doesn't your boss tell you, you got to get really, this is going to take absolute commitment. This is going to take everything you have. It's going to take long hours. It's going to take this. And you've got to make that decision. In fact, you're on the team. There's no option. You've got to be here all night, all day to do this. Or how about this one? I hear this all the time at work. Well, you know, if you really want that position over there, you got to go to college for the next 40 years at night. And you got to study to like the wee hours of the morning. And then you got to show up and be all chipper on top of it. And do all of these things. Jump through the hoops. Sit down. Jump here. Raise this. Give me this. Pay for this. Buy these books. Do this thing. And the world stands here today in our lives and it says, you want success, don't you? Don't you want to be confident? Don't you want to be affluent? Don't you want to climb that ladder? And you go, yeah, I want to be there. I want to provide for my family. I want to do these things. And the world says, great, it's a hard road. Get committed. Work at it. Strive. And then you get Frank Sinatra who stands at the end of his life and says, yep, I did it my way. And everybody goes, wow. Oh, look. And the president of our corporation where I work, he walks by and it cracks me up because people go, like he's some kind of a god. And they look at him and they say, man, that's what I want to, I want to be like that guy. I want to have that big office up there and all the cars and all that stuff. I want to be like that. And he stands there and he says, well, you know, if you want to be up here where I'm at, you got to work for it. You got to earn it the old-fashioned way. You know, rob and steal it from the guy that was there first. But the world's demanding, isn't it? Doesn't the world stand there and say, come unto me, all ye who are ready to strive and scratch and crawl to the top? And I'll give you no rest. The world is a brutal taskmaster. And we all get sucked into that game. Let's do it. Or you try to find fulfillment. I am not going to be happy until I have a jet ski. I am absolutely not going to be happy until I'm just buzzing off those waves, man. And I know it's what the Lord wants. And they mope and they mope and they grump around and they're just... And Jesus is saying, hey, psst, be a disciple. Follow me. You know that word follow me means to get on my path. That's what that word follow me means in the Bible. Going my way, Jesus says. Going my way. Oh, no. The world says, oh, religion, that's easy. Following Jesus. I'm a Christian. I was born in San Diego. I mean, isn't God a Republican? Hey. Or Democrat. But people say, it's amazing. If you think I'm joking, go out and witness to people on the streets and see what they say. You can't believe it. Hey, my father was in Chino before it was ever Chino, man. Of course I'm a Christian. Oh, wow. What book is that in? Second Chino, 5-1. And the world says, do this. And then when the world stops and takes a look at Christianity, what does the world say? Don't you hear this all the time? I'm a Christian. That's nothing. I could do that. What are you praying for? What do you study your Bible for, they say? hey, you know, last time I looked, Jesus said, broad is the way, you know, it's a big way. And many, many people are traveling that path and they're falling right off the ditch, like lemmings right off a cliff. And Jesus says, you know what, the way though to righteousness is very narrow, it's very straight, and few there be who be on that path. But the world says, no, man. It cracks me up. The world says, it's tough to get to the top. You got to work. And then the flip side of the coin, I hope you catch this. I hope I say it right so you catch it. The flip side is, when you ask the world concerning religion and how do you get to God, the world says, that's easy. Well, there's no striving and crawling and working that one. You just, you know, believe. You know, believe in something. You know, you see bumper stickers, I'll believe. Everyone's got to believe in something, it says. And I'll believe I'll have another beer, it says on the bumper sticker. Well, you know, as long as you believe something. No, it's not that way. But do you see the paradox? The world says it's going to be tough to get to the top. But concerning Jesus Christ, it's a cakewalk. Don't worry about it. And Jesus says, oh no. If you commit your way to me, if you be a disciple to me, then I'll take care of the world for you. You don't have to worry about it. Psalm 75, verse 6 says that promotion comes from the Lord. Put that on your desk at work and see what your friends say. Well, I'm going to give you this promotion because you've been so good. No, you're not. Jesus Christ says right here, Bible, God's given me this promotion. Promotion comes from the Lord. And if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ and you're walking after Him, God may choose to exalt you in business or in ministry or whatever it is. But you must be content with the fact that God may not exalt you. You may have that little business that struggles to the day you die. And I tell you what, there's more peace in walking with the will of God in that area than in the other. Then there's this thing about what we're talking is easy believism. Disciple? What? Me? No, you see, I came forward. I raised my hand. I'm safe. You know, once saved, always saved. And I believe if you're truly regenerate and born again, you're going to be born again forever. But a person who's truly born again will be a disciple of Jesus Christ. What does that mean, Mathetes? It means this, you guys. When you get up in the morning, you submit your thoughts to Jesus Christ. Now, that's going to take discipline. It may cost you 10 minutes of sleep. You may have to get up 10 minutes earlier and say, Lord, I barely know what I'm doing, but I know that I heard the message yesterday, and I'm asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, to help me to walk with you. It may take 10 minutes out of your sleep. God will strengthen you during the day if you do that. Being a disciple. Jesus says, I want you to go. I want you to go to Brazil or Detroit. No, Brazil, please. And the disciple says, yes, Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And His glory filled the temple. And Isaiah's going, my gosh, this is wonderful. Look at this God of heaven. And then he sees himself and he goes, I'm in trouble. I'm ugly. I'm sinful. And God cleanses him of his sin. And he hears the Lord say, whom shall we send? God says, Jeremiah, Gabriel, Michael, who do we send? And Isaiah says, send me. I'll be a disciple. And Jesus wants to say to you this morning, I want to send you into the children's ministry. I want to send you into Biafra. I want to send you into Newport Beach. I want to send you somewhere. I want to give you a purpose for your life. But the fact of the matter is you'll never know what the purpose and the dynamics for your life is until you lay it out before the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's hard. It's demanding what I'm saying. Jesus means exactly what he says and says what he means. Ryle in his book says, nothing in fact has done more damage to Christianity and to the church than the practicing of filling the ranks of needs in the ministry, filling the slots with soldiers who are willing to make little uncommitted professions, who go about then talking about affluence of experiences. That's a radical thing to say. What he's saying is, you know, nothing hurts the church more than people say, I'll come forward, I'll do it, and they not know if they're a disciple or not, and they get signed up for all kinds of ministry and programs. We have needs in this church. But if you're not rooted and grounded, then wait. But Ryle says in his commentary, people are signing up all the time, and they're destroying people because they don't know what they're doing. And then they shut the door of their ministry, and they walk home, and they start talking about experiences and just lofty things that they've accomplished, and they haven't done anything because they've left out the most important thing, and that is being committed to Jesus Christ as a disciple, as a follower of His. Jesus says hard things. These things are probably very uncomfortable to you. They're uncomfortable to me. A.W. Tozer said, we pastors have a very difficult lot in life. Jesus said in Luke 9:23 that if any man will come after me, he must deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me daily. I didn't make this up. Some of you look like you could stone me right now. But the fact of the matter is, people, Jesus has brought us through Matthew, this beautiful book of the kingly presence of Jesus Christ. And he's getting ready to start getting to himself. Listen, take heed. He's getting himself now to the position where he's going to start picking his co-laborers, the followers. Are you with me? Are you with me? In the next couple of chapters, Jesus is going to start gathering to himself ministers. And what Jesus is doing is he's making it tough. He's testing the hearts. Now, I'm getting a reputation. I've always had this, and my poor wife, pray for her. But I have always been one that when somebody comes to me and says, I'd like to do this, I don't know. I mean, I'll put them through the ringer to test their motive first. It's just the way I've always been that way. And I met my wife, so precious and just such a special girl. I couldn't believe it that God had brought this woman in my life, and it blew my mind. And you know what? It was terrible. But when I started to feel these feelings of love for her, and I really wanted to be committed to her, and she said, I want to be committed to you. It blew my mind because I didn't want to get hurt again. You see, my motive was weird, not like Jesus is holy. Jesus' testings are perfect. Mine was, does she really mean this? And that, oh man, I put her through the ringer. All right, jump through the hoop. Okay, great. All right, climb up these stairs. All right, now do this. Do the other thing. And I was a wicked taskmaster. And unfortunately, I've carried that over, I think, into so much of my Christian experience because I'm always searching on the motives of my heart because I don't know my heart like you don't know yours. But somebody will come to me and they go, I want to be this, that, and the other thing. When Chuck and Lonnie, they had been praying about the music, about playing, and I was praying about them playing, and everything was just fine, easy street. And then they said, the Lord spoke to us. We want to make that commitment. And then I said, are you sure? And then I started just trying to talk them out of it. And in a sense, though it's in a holy manner, Jesus tries to talk a person out of making a false commitment to him. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? He speaks and he says, be sure about what you're doing. Jesus is talking about a disciple. When he says to that man at the end, there in verse 21, then another disciple said to him, Lord, let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Do you know what he's saying there? This is not my interpretation. This is what the scripture in its original suggests. Let the spiritually dead bury the physical dead. When your father who is spiritually dead, when he dies, let somebody who's spiritually, who doesn't know me, who does not know God, let him bury your father. I'm calling you to a spiritual life, Jesus is saying. Let somebody else take care of that work. I call you to more important things. What on earth can be more important than the last regards, last respects concerning a loved one? Jesus says, listen, now listen. He says, if anybody loves father or brother, sister, daughter more than me, is not worthy to follow me. Jesus said that. Sunday school Jesus, walking through the flowers Jesus. Why does he say such things? Because there's so much at stake. There's heaven and hell at stake. And he says, don't you know if you're going to love your family right, you got to love me first. That's why he's saying those things. He doesn't have something against your family. God created the family. He created the marriage relationship. And he speaks to you and he says, that stuff doesn't matter. You got to put me first and then you can love your dad and your mother. I love my family. Share the gospel. I've shared this with you before. Thanksgiving Day. Shared the gospel 10 years or more. So to my brother at Thanksgiving, he threatened to break my neck after I prayed over the meal. Broke my heart. But what am I going to do? I'm a disciple. When Jesus called me to follow him, man, there was no looking back. No turning back. Though all forsake thee, I'll follow thee. And I can really relate to Peter. I stood there so many times and says, God, I'll go with you. I'll go anywhere with you. Just point me in the direction. And that's my prayer today. Tell me where you want me to go. Just speak the word. I'll go. And like Peter, man, I get all messed up. I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. Then a rooster crows and I wake up and I find out I'm on some other side of the track. God made a left-hand turn and I made a right. Oh, God, where are you? It's my heart. I want to follow God. God wants you to follow him with all of your heart. The disciple says, I don't care what happens. Crucify me. Impale me upside down. I don't care. As you grow along in Jesus Christ, for some of you, this will be totally foreign. You won't even know what I'm talking about. My heart breaks for you. Jesus says, it's in my word. I want you to do this. And you go, I love you, but. And Jesus does not listen to any buts. No way. Jesus, he does the same thing he did with the rich ruler, the rich man, who said, Lord, all of these things I've done, I've walked with you from day one. And Jesus says, go and sell everything you have. And the man's head hung down, and he walked away, and he was very sad. And Jesus, it says, was more sad because that man's heart was bound in riches. If Jesus told you this morning, give it all up. Listen, if Jesus told you this morning to give up that thing you love, give up your mother. Give up your father. Could you do it this morning? You know in your heart right now, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about something that you really derive pleasure from. Can you give it up? If you cannot, you are not a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I am not a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus has hard sayings, demanding statements. There's so much at stake, you guys. I wish you knew. Some of you know. There's so much at stake. And then the life of a disciple will not always be comfortable. It won't be easy. It'll be demanding. Jesus says, love me first, love me above all things, get on my path, follow me. You've got to ask yourself this morning, am I following him? Why should you follow Jesus? Because Jesus has died to keep you out of a Christless eternity, that's why. If you're a believer and you're saved, the Lord's speaking to your heart about other areas of deeper commitment. He's saying, I want you to do this. And you're fighting with him. Oh, man, God and I wrestle a lot. I can safely say to you this morning that I'm a disciple and I'm not a disciple because every day I wake up, Jesus is calling me somewhere else. And every day I get up, Jesus has got a new command. And he says, do this. And I go, that's going to hurt. And he says, that's right. I want you to do this. But God, if I share with that person, I'll look stupid. You ever get that one? Stand in the line, share with that person. But I look like an idiot. Jesus says, do it. Jesus says this, that, and the other thing. Finally, the disciple is in love with the Word of God. It's a bizarre thing. The Word of God comes into our hearts and it kind of cuts us up. And we get convicted of sin, and we get uncomfortable, and we squirm in our seat, and we kind of push it away and kind of cool down a little bit. and yet you get away from the Word of God? Are you this way? I'm this way. I get away from the Bible and I feel like somebody dislocated my head. I'm a mess. And I got to get back in the Bible because that's the only place where I live that I feel normal in this world. When I get away from God's Word, I feel like some kind of a freak because I don't fit into the world and I don't fit in with the Lord. And God says, come on home, come back. And I come back to Him and all is well. And those demanding statements by Jesus, I begin to fall in love with. And I embrace them. In closing, I want to read this to you. I'm going to read to you 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is the life of a disciple. This is the disciple Paul, at the end of his life, he will be dying literally hours from this moment. Are you with me? Listen to his last words. Paul says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. That's what you're to do, not me. I'm to encourage you, and you're to go out and live the word. Preaching it is living it. Be ready in season and in out. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they will have itching ears and they will heap to themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, stories. Entertain me, Pastor. Don't make me uncomfortable, Pastor. Tell me stories. But you be watchful in all things, enduring afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Share. Fulfill your ministry. Paul says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my death is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I finished the race, and I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but all those who love his appearing. Are you excited about the coming of Jesus Christ? Is it the joy of your heart this morning? You need to be ready. Verse 9, be diligent. Be diligent to come to me quickly. For Demas was a disciple. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Doesn't that rip your guts out? Demas was with Paul the Apostle. Have you ever been with a godly man? Have you ever seen a minister and gone with him? Demas was with Paul, and at the end, Paul has his death sentence, and Demas blows him off. He goes back into the world, and Paul says, man, he loved the world. All of those years he's labored with me, and he's gone back into the world. Awesome. Demas was a hireling. He was in ministry when it was easy. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And he has departed to Thessalonica. Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me now. Get Mark, please get Mark, and bring him with you, for he is useful in the ministry. Antichicus, I have sent to Ephesus. Bring to me the cloak that I left with Carpus and Troas. And when you come, listen to this. When you come, Paul is on his way out. The issue's been decreed. Paul, your head's coming off. And Paul says, you know what? Bring with me my books, and especially the Old Testament. Isn't that cool? He's dying. What's he doing? Pump me with the Word of God. I'm a disciple. I don't want Wheaties and cornflakes now. The guard comes and brings him his last meal. No, I don't want that. I don't want to waste my time. Bring me the Bible. Bring me my books. He's a disciple. He's committed. Are you committed this morning? You probably came this morning with the thought of making a commitment to Jesus. You're probably talked out of it. Praise God if you've been talked out of it. You weren't ready anyway. Awesome thoughts. For those of you who are here for the first time, I don't know, is it like this? It's not like this every week, is it? I'm under commission. I'm under orders by the Lord God Almighty to teach the Word of God as it comes to us in the Scripture, the full counsel of the Lord. And Jesus is my judge. Let's pray. Father, open our eyes to the fact that Jesus didn't play any games when he was on the cross. It wasn't a tic-tac-toe kind of a thing. It wasn't, Father, the pulling of a four-leaf clover here or a petal off of a flower saying, maybe I will and maybe I won't. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. He went there for us and our salvation and our commitment. And for the seasoned believer this morning, Father, we are called, dear God in heaven, to be more committed to you in the way of discipleship. And to those who do not know you this morning, who want to know you after these demands, Jesus called them. Father, you have said that all that are yours will come. If you'd like to accept Christ this morning as your Lord and Savior, if the things that were spoken here today appeal to your heart, that you want Christ and you want to know that if you die, you'll be with Him in heaven, why don't you raise your hand and raise it high so I can see it? God bless you. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Raise your hand high if that's your case this morning. If Jesus Christ is to be the Lord of your life and you're to live after Him fully committed. Last time, raise your hand. Praise the Lord.